Verses 1 and 2, that is what you covered last week, right? Okay, good. I've not had a chance to listen to his message. It's on the internet, if you'd like to go back and review it, or if you missed it. We post every Sunday morning, Sunday night on our website when they're recorded, and you're able to pick those up if you miss them. So, or if you go, did he really say? You can go back and listen. Yeah, he really did say that. You never know. Now, chapter 11 is probably one of my favorite chapters in the whole book of Hebrews. Partly because I'm such a passion for history, and it really is like a big history, that whole chapter, dealing with all the different characters of faith and all the different images that it evokes as you work through it, because it reminds you and it reminds me of different people, people who lived by faith. Now, we're going to split chapter 11 into 2 weeks, so that's why it's People of Faith Part 1. Next week is Part 2. There's not a Part 3 planned. I'm just going to tell you that. It's just 2, so that'll be probably good, but here are a group of people and an issue in their lives, faith, a group of people who heard the call of God in their lives, and they then responded with steps of faith. And really, if you want to just summarize the message, here it is. People of faith responded. They did something. They didn't just sit. They didn't just do nothing. They had to do what God told them to do. By the way, I think that's a good definition of faith, by the way. We've been talking on Sunday mornings about faith without works is dead. Well, faith by itself is dead if it does not have some action. And so what we see in their action, their faith, is a direct action that comes out of their life. And you see it again and again and again. Next week, we'll cover the second half of the book, and we'll see God at work in their lives as well as here. But tonight, I want to call your attention just to 5 aspects of faith as it worked in the lives of people. I guess if you're going to talk about faith, you probably ought to start with a definition. And I think that's what the writer here does in chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. Says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Now, here in the beginning, let's just kind of set it up. It's a formal definition of the word faith. Some people say it's formal. Some would say really it's really more of a working definition. I'm not sure which one it is entirely. I think it may be both. But regardless of your view, I think it's very helpful to start this conversation with an explanation of what faith is all about. And really what he does here is he lays out 4 aspects of faith. Did you see them? Hope, conviction, commendation, and belief. Now, in turn, these cover, I believe, the fullness of faith as it pertains to the God of the Bible. Now, first of all, he talks about hope. What is hope? Well, hope is the assurance of things to come in the lives of those with faith. And so by listening to the voice of God, listening to what God has to say, listening to where he's at, he says, okay, here's the direction, here's the idea, here's the hope, here's what I have for you. And we go, okay, God, that's what you have, then that's what I want. Is a hope that he's out there and he has a purpose and a plan for us and for you and for me. Second, he talks about conviction. And what's a conviction? A conviction goes beyond a belief in a lot of ways. It's deeper than just hope, even in a sense. It's the idea that you are holding to a belief, a truth, a person that is greater than what you can't even see. A conviction. I have a conviction that God exists. He exists. Have I ever seen him? Not physically. Have I ever heard him speak to me? Not audibly. But does he exist? I have a conviction. That's a conviction. He's there and he's the one leading. And instead of us just wandering through life aimlessly, God is there and he gives us a future and he gives us a confidence in that future and the confidence in the outcome that's in the future. He says, I'm here, I'm working for you. And I want you to have a conviction that I'm here. Third, he reveals that those of old received commendation. Now, that's a word we don't use often in our languages anymore, but it's this commendation because of the release of faith. As faith is put into practice, we're commended in the relationship with him. We are commended to be part of his plan, part of his kingdom, part of his existence, part of his reality. We are commended as his servants. Fourth, Faith includes an element whereby those who have it believe in the creative power of God. What does God do? He is. He creates. In other words, they hold firmly to an understanding that the God of the Bible is the one who created them. Why? Why did he create you? Why did he create these people to whom he writes? He created them for the express purpose of worship and fellowship, to be in relationship with God. And that fellowship, though broken due to the existence of sin and introduction of sin into the human reality, by faith, that relationship has been restored. Faith. So what is faith? Let me give you my short definition. Faith is a verb. Faith is a verb. It's not a thing, it's an action. It's an action. The first aspect I want you to see this evening as we dive into this broad-ranging chapter about faith and what faith actually is all about, it begins with an understanding that faith is not a noun. It's not something you can hold. It's not a thing. I can pull out a quarter of my pocket and look, I have a quarter. Great. So what? I have faith. Where is it? It's not something you hold. It's something you believe, something you trust in. It's an action, not a discussion. Biblical faith is about action, not discussion. Biblical faith is about going, not sitting. Biblical faith is a conviction that God fully exists, has created you for a purpose, and the outcome of your life is going to be determined by where that faith leads you. What's faith about? So look at as these following characters come out one by one in the next few verses, one of the common themes that you're going to see in their life is this. They heard the voice of God, they followed the voice of God and released faith in their lives, and therefore they could not stay the same. Why? Because God was at work in their life. When God moves into life, something happens. They had to go somewhere. They had to do something. They had to take a step in a direction outside of their comfort zone in order to see an evidence of faith. I got to tell you, that's no different today, as faith without works is, hello, y'all been sitting on Sunday morning, it's dead. It's dead. That faith without steps, without physical, tangible steps forward is dead. It's not real. Well, I have faith. Great. Show me your faith by your works, is how James would have said it. Same is true for you here tonight. You profess to have received faith from the Lord. Show me your acts. Show me the steps. Show me where God's leading you. Show me where God's taking you. Show me what God's doing in your life. Faith is a verb. There's action that goes with it. So faith is defined. Let's come on down, verses 4 to 7. Let's discover a little bit here. Faith is discovered. Let's talk about some really, really ancient characters here. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended, there's that word again, as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, what he does in this first part of this discussion is he goes back, he goes old school, okay? I mean, really old school. We're back before the flood, back before the worldwide catastrophic flood that he talks about in the text, in the Bible early on. He doesn't go all the way back to Adam and Eve. I find that interesting. He goes back to their kids, two of their sons, who are the center of a story that was centered on the issue of faith. What was the problem between those two brothers? It was essentially a disagreement over faith. What do you mean? If you recall the story, these two men brought sacrifices to the Lord. One brought one type of sacrifice. The other brought a different type of sacrifice. Now, But only one brought a sacrifice that was acceptable to the Lord. Now, we could spend a lot of time dealing with Cain and Abel. We're not going to. But only one of them performed their giving by faith. It's at the heart of what's going on. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Cain's was not. Now, scholars have debated the meaning of this over the years, and no final answer. We won't get one tonight. So for our purpose, what we're going to do is just accept the word at face value. One sacrifice was acceptable. One wasn't. We're also going to make an assumption here that they knew the difference between what was acceptable and what wasn't, without going into a long conversation about why that's true. So our purpose is here. The important aspect is this. Catch this. Genuine faith leads people to bring the right sacrifice to the Lord. It's discovered in their lives. They did, the one whose sacrifice was acceptable, did it in a manner that God was pleased and the other didn't. And I believe it was an essence of faith that's going on here. Then he mentions another Old Testament character. And this is really an obscure one for many of us. We don't talk about him. The guy's name is Enoch. Whatever he did that caused God to remove him from this world before his physical death was a direct result of faith. These are the key elements in every one of their life. It's an issue of faith going on in their lives. His actions were so faith-centered that God says, I'm just going to bring you home. You're going to come with me. What did he do? How can I get that? How do I get that gig? You know, that's what I'd like to know. But that's not the point tonight. The point is he was faithful and he lived a life of faith. Then he mentions Noah. Noah must have been thought to be kind of off his rocker. A man who had never seen a boat, builds a boat. Kind of nuts. Oh, by the way, he built it far from water. Really nuts, okay? Except the God of the universe had told him to do what? Build a boat. I could just hear a Baptist church having a conversation about that one. Well, we need to form a committee to discuss whether we could actually think about accepting God's call to do that or not. I hope y'all are chuckling a little bit because I'm just kidding with you, okay? You can debate the validity of the flood story if you want. That's not the point here tonight. The point here tonight is a man heard God tell him to build a boat by faith. And it took a long time to do it. It'd take me a long time to build a boat, especially if I've never seen one. And all I have is the blueprints from God. Do it this way. Do what? Okay. By faith, Noah did what he was told, and he prepared for a flood that was coming a long time down the road. And his actions were the result of faith being released. Now, here's what I want you to grasp. Let's stop for a second and kind of digest. What do we need to grasp here? And here's what I want you to see. First of all, is this. Faith is a mystery. You're going, huh? I thought you were trying to explain faith. Yeah, but I won't be able to. Okay? Faith is a mystery at the end of the day. We've already seen that faith is a verb, but I also want you to understand it's a mystery. Maybe it's because we don't fully understand the backstory of Abel and Cain, but what was the difference between their offerings? Was it a matter of the heart? Was it a matter of the quality of their sacrifice? At the end of the day, we're left with something of a mystery, but the basic truth is when faith is released in one life, it wasn't in the other. Why? That's a mystery. What was wrong with Cain's offering? He gave. Isn't that good enough? I don't fully understand that. At the end of the day, we're left with a mystery. We also find the removal of Enoch. You know what? That's a mystery. How wonderful was he to be able to be taken out like he was? We know from the text his life was so centered on God that God didn't have much of a choice, almost. No decision. It was pretty easy to seal. We'll just bring him home. That's a mystery to me. I don't get that. We discover a guy named Noah. Here was a man chosen from all the world. Now, we've probably come a little closer to understanding that one because we've been told in the text that the rest of the world was evil and there was none else good but him. But even then, why was he good? And everybody else wasn't. Kind of a mystery. Look at your own families. You look around and you go, well, I'm committed to the Lord. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. But I've got cousins that, oh, my Lord, you know. They can only use God's name if it's in vain, you know. Maybe you can relate to that. Why is your household of faith and theirs is not? It's something of a mystery, isn't it? I don't understand. We know Noah wasn't perfect, but you know what? He was available. And that's what I want you to see of that mysterious side of faith. God will move in some lives, but he's silent in others. He blesses in some seasons of our lives, but not in others. And the essence of this for you is not to try and fully understand every aspect of faith, because it remains in part a mystery. But when the wave rolls, that is God's faith, oh, be sure you catch it. Because God wants to take you somewhere. He wants to do something. What would have happened in the case of Noah, for example, if he had refused to listen and obey God? He said, I don't think I'm going to build a boat. What would have happened? We don't know. It's all conjecture if we start to come up down that road very far. But go down that road for a minute with me. What would have happened if no one had built the boat? We might be fish. I don't know. It'd be kind of weird, you know? Maybe God would have chosen someone else. We don't know. The same is true in your life and my life. When you and I sense that God is leading us by faith, there are going to be, listen, elements of mystery involved in his leading in our lives, and you probably won't get the answer to that mystery for a long time, if ever. Why did he do that? Let me tell you this. It's okay. Because if God's really leading and you're walking by faith, where else do you want to be? But right there. So faith defined, faith discovered, faith delivered. Look at verse 8. By faith, now we're past the flood now. You like my delivery truck there? It's been delivered. So let y'all tie in there. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he was to receive an inheritance, as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. He didn't have GPS. Did you know that? By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him, God, faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Next, the writer moves to the great patriarch of the faith, Abraham. Here's a man who lived in what is today Iraq, but he was called by God to go somewhere else, to a promised land. Now, if you know the story, actually his daddy was called to go to the promised land. But they only got so far as, was it Ur of the Chaldees? Maybe that's not right. I'm off my notes. Pastor, help me out here, brother. They got in the northern part of Iraq today, and they camped out and stayed. And then Abraham picked up the talisk and went on. And he was promised a place and an inheritance when he got here. But remember, the promise was not to stay. He had to go. So his faith is delivered, is revealed in the phrase, he went where? Out. His faith was not going to be effective until he did what? Until he moved. Until he said yes. Here's a man who was older. No children, but he heard the call of God. In fact, when he took those first few steps of faith, he didn't even know where he was going fully. Can you imagine? You start going. Where am I going? I get that feeling sometimes. Sometimes between the bedroom and the living room, I'll have that moment. You know what I'm saying? Any of you have that? You get about halfway, what was I going to do? Can you imagine packing your family up, all your household goods, everything, and you head out and you go, now, where are we going? I don't know. That way. That's Abraham, excuse me. That's his life. Here he goes. He takes those first steps. But when he went to the foreign land, he began to live in tents with his sons and his grandsons. And he actually kept moving. If you know the story, he started in the northern part of the country and he moved a little further south. And he moved a little further south. And he got so far south, he ended up back in the desert. Could raise sheep, but not much more. But he was looking for what? The eternal city of God. We also find a connection here with his wife, the evidence of faith at work in their lives. You know the story of Sarah, when the messenger came by the tent and said, hey, you're going to have a... And she said, ha! Not me. Plumbing doesn't work. I mean, it's just the way it is. And yet, God said, it'll happen. And what seemed impossible for them as a couple, namely having a child at such an advanced age, was no obstacle to God at all. And the end result was this. They believed God could and would, and he did by faith. Here's what I want you to see. Faith is also a process. You go, well, I thought faith was a moment. Oh, it's a moment, but it's also a process. It's a process whereby God leads step by step. Take the example of Abraham. Here's a man whose life was close to his end. Let's face it, he'd lived the majority of his life, but God was not finished with him yet. His dad had heard the call to go to the promised land, but for whatever reason became diverted. Now the call fell to him, to Abram, before he was renamed Abraham. And he listened and, more importantly, obeyed the call of God. And even in the midst of saying yes, he didn't even know the next steps fully that God had for him. He didn't know where exactly God was going to lead him. But the process of faith would take a number of, listen, years for it to be accomplished. You know the story, another child was born because of Sarah's intervention and all the mess that happened. There was a long stretch of time in here, at least from Abram's perspective. He didn't know where God was going to lead him. The process of faith would take a number of years to be completed. Even Sarah had the same example. She had heard, I'm going to have a child. No kid. Maybe we ought to take the handmaid and let her have a kid and she'll be my kid. And it'll be, well, just, no, it didn't work that way. Had Sarah had a little more faith, we might not have the mess in the Middle East today, right? But that's another conversation. And that's the principle I want you to see. Faith is a process whereby God leads his people step by step by step. Rarely does God just go, okay, boom, here it all is. Usually he says, here's the next step. Here's the next step. You take that step, I'll give you the next step. You take the next step, I'll give you the next step. Take the next step, he may make you hold and wait for a while. And then he'll give you the next step. It's a process. When you hear the voice of God calling you to take a step of faith, understand that the call is not only to step forward, but to trust God in the process. He may very well call you to something that at the moment makes absolutely no sense to you. You're going, God, this ain't gonna work. Not where I'm at right now. Not from my perspective. Had Abraham demanded a full explanation of what was coming next in the process, I doubt he would have gotten an answer. And probably scarier is if he had gotten the answer, it would have scared him to death. And his call was to do this, take a step. Take a step. Not just any step, but the step God asked him to take. And then take the second step so he could find the third step. And take the third step so he could find the fourth step. See, the same is true in your life and my life, because God's going to call you and me to step out in faith in a direction where he's calling you to serve, to lead, to minister, to be involved in the kingdom. He's saying, I've got this for you. Will you take a step? And you go, no, I don't think so. But if you'd show me the whole plan, God, I might consider it. He's not going to do that. He's going to ask you and me to take the first step and to trust God with the process. Not easy stuff. But if you'll take those first steps and second steps and third steps, what you'll see is that God is working all around you, delivering you where he wants to take you. So faith defined, discovered, delivered. Yes, I was alliterative tonight, so hang in there with me. It's displayed. Verse 13. These all died in faith. Now, let's just stop there. They died in faith. That's just depressing. You mean they didn't see it all completed? Oh, you catch this. It's a display that God's putting together here. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. Well, that's not fair. God promised that he ought to deliver it, right? Hang in there. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Now, some would call this an interlude. I don't think it is, because the writer's given some thoughts here about faith and how it's displayed. Up to this point, he shared about people of faith from before the flood and after the flood. Now he seems to indicate that they're dying before they see the fullness of God's promise in their life. Now, hang in there with me. God said he's going to do this. And I took the first step, and he showed me the second step. And I took the second step, and then he showed me the third step. And then I took the third step, and he showed me the fourth step. And then I took the fourth step, and I died. Wait. I thought I was supposed to get the end result. You with me? Kind of a weird process when you think about it, from our perspective at least. You say, but did God move in the life of the person? Absolutely. Was God leading step by step by step? Absolutely. But the final delivery of the faith has not been displayed in their time. And that's what I want you to catch. God was still at work to accomplish his plan. Hello. The difference, listen, is that we get hung up, and these people would get hung up on, this is my plan, this is my discretion. No, it's not. It's God's plan. We are a moment. He is forever. Didn't we sing that tonight? These people were merely part of the grand design of God. They had taken steps of faith, but their steps were just part of a bigger picture of God. They had seen God's plan from afar, but had not seen him complete his design. They had been revealed as strangers and exiles because they had said yes. They hadn't seen the end result. They were just part of the big design and the big plan. Abel and Cain revealed the broken nature of sin, of humanity because of sin. Enoch showed the reality even the most faithful could see their usefulness on earth come to an end. Noah would see the world through a most terrible season, yet not survive on the earth to see God completely restore it. Even Abraham, key figure in the development of God's chosen people, wouldn't see the final completion. He's just part of the process. Here's what I want you to see. Faith leads people forward. I want you to see that the faith that God calls people to express in this world simply brings you into his grand design. And instead of seeing yourself as the end-all and be-all of faith on earth, start to see your steps of faith as simply part of God's purpose on earth being fulfilled. You're going, but that makes me smaller than I would like to think of myself. I hate to tell you this, you are smaller than you think you are. Did he just say what he said? Yes. The world does not revolve around you or me. You and I are just a vapor, gone in a moment. The question isn't, how important am I? The question is, am I going to be faithful to be part of God's design or not? See, down through the ages, many generations have seen themselves as this. Well, we're the last generation. We're so important. We may be the last generation. We may not be. It really doesn't matter. The question is, are we going to be faithful with what God has called us to do in our time or not? To stand as he calls us to stand, to serve as he calls us to serve, to be the people that God desires us to be, so that the next generation hears about the faithfulness of God and can build upon our faithfulness. Someone once said that we're only one generation away from apostasy. I'm not sure we're probably pretty close to that at this point as a nation, but I want you to understand it doesn't have to be. Raise your children, raise my children to believe in the Lord and to follow him. So faith defined, discovered, delivered, displayed, finally desired. Let's come back to Abraham. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Now, what I want you to see finally here tonight, and we're going to have to stop because of time, we'll get the rest of the chapter next week, Lord willing, is this desire of faith. Here he comes back to the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. Abraham had waited how long for his promised son to come along? A long time, okay? Pushing 100 years. I thought I was an old daddy with a three-year-old. Whew, can you imagine? Frank Brooks, having a two-year-old in the house. Yeah, exactly. His wife had even tried to manufacture the blessings of God, which caused a lot of strife in the family. But then God delivered on his promise. He brought them a son. He brought them the son of promise through whom the line was going to come. His son's name was Isaac. But a few years into his life, what did Abraham have to do? God said, I want you to take that son of promise and do what? Do what? That's what I would have said. You want me to take him and sacrifice him? You got to be kidding. I don't think you can do it again, God. You know the story. It was there on that sacrificial moment that God provided the next step. See, had they not gotten to the place where Isaac was bound and the knife was drawn, I don't know if they had ever seen the ram caught in the thicket or not. God provided. He spoke of Isaac bringing the future blessings on Jacob, God's chosen, even on Esau, the one he rejected. He spoke of Jacob blessing his sons down in Egypt in order to carry his people through the trial of famine. He even spoke of Joseph saying, you remember when I die, I don't want to be buried here. I want to be buried in the land that God has promised to us. And they did that. This faith would be the root of desire whereby God's purposes would be revealed in the world. And those desires would be released in the lives of the men because they've said, we will be faithful step by step by step. And their choices became part of the pattern of God moving in them and through them. Their cry of the heart was this, God, we want your purpose and your plan. So what does faith, what else does it do? Let me just bring one more to you and we'll be done. Faith transforms hearts. You know, I want my heart to in tune to God, then walk by faith. He'll change your heart. Let me draw your attention to the end game of faith, if you will. What happens when a person chooses to release those first steps of faith? You say, okay, God, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to take the step, and I'm going to take the next step when you show it to me. I'm going to show you the next step, and I'll take that one, God. Then now show me the next one. I'll take that one. What happens when you follow that process down those successive steps of faith? One, you get closer to God's plan. I got that. But really what happens is this. Your heart's changed. You hear me? Because now you're going, but I want that next step. I want what God has next. I want where God's leading. And your heart begins to change. And instead of going, well, I guess we ought to do, and we ought to be, we go, I want to be there, and I want to be a part of that. And instead of wandering from action to action that's centered on what you want or what I want, your desires become the same desires that God has. God's desire for humanity is for us to walk by faith, to have a relationship with him where we worship and we have fellowship with him on a regular basis. That's the heart of God. And those steps of faith lead you and you become aligned with his purpose and his plan and his direction and his grand design for humanity. What is God's plan for humanity? Do you know? He wants to restore us to a place where we are with him. He sent his only son to die to make that possible. He wants people to have faith. See, these steps of faith lead you to become aligned with his purpose. So what keeps you from getting aligned with God? What's keeping you from being aligned with the purposes of God? It's a little word. Starts with an N, ends with an O. You need help? No, you don't need help. You know that word. We're born with that word on our lips. We say no, 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 no. And when God speaks to us, we look at God and say, almost, you know, knee-jerk instinctive reaction, no. And God just waits. Okay? See, he won't force you to say yes. I wish he would some days for my own good, you know, just kind of knock me around the head. Well, he does that anyway, but kind of go, okay, here, we're going to go. I don't have a choice. It's kind of like, you know, kids, they go, I don't want to go to the dentist. Tough, you're going. I don't want to get shots. Get in the car. We don't give our kids a choice, right? We love them. God gives us that choice. And often we say what? No. No, I don't want to do that. No, I don't think so. I got to tell you, the more you say no to God, the easier it gets. And the more you say no to God, the less you hear him speak in your life. And the more you say no to God, the less you see him move in your life. Maybe we ought to quit saying no. Just a thought. And start saying yes. And if you will, here's what will happen. You will find God moving in amazing ways because you took the step. God, I'm going to trust you. I took the next step. I'm going to trust you. Let me close with this and we're done. Faith set loose works to bring you into alignment with God. You're going to need, and I'm going to need God's leadership if we're ever going to find him working in us. You can apply that to us as a church. You can apply that to us as individuals. And until faith actually begins to have feet, we will never be what God wants us to be. But if you will, if you'll take those steps and say yes, oh my, look out. Because when God's purposes are accomplished, it's good. It's good. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you for these people of faith and their examples for us. God, our prayer is that you would cause us to look to them, not because they're perfect, because they're not, but because they have chosen to walk by faith. Lord, I want us to be a people. I want to be a man of yours who says, yes, I will take that step. I will listen to your voice. I don't know the outcome, but I'm going to trust you. God, I don't have to have it all figured out before I can say yes. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that do that. We ask your blessing on this evening, on your word, Lord, where you want to lead us in Jesus' name.